This game cast.
I will now call the board back in session. Next case, please.
Case number 10,878, Just Soup Ministries, Inc., south of Route 18, Lower Georgetown Highway, 195 feet south of Road 290, Cool Spring Road. A special exception to allow the serving of foods at a custom cooking facility approved as a home occupation, not as commercial use.
Names and addresses, please.
18483 Cool Spring Road,
Milton,
Delaware. Dale Dunning.
Ken Dunning.
Same address?
Yes.
All right. Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Right, thank you.
Greetings.
Good evening.
My name is Dale Dunning, Just Soup Ministries. Just Soup is 12 years old. I feed all sorts of people, the homeless, those who are out of work, going through divorce, need of fellowship, lost of loved ones. I also pay for prescriptions, help with hotel, motel stay. I am presently now using church halls, but I have access. I have my own hall now, which I would love to use. I get up in the mornings between 1:15, 2 o'clock in the a.m. That's what time my day starts. I usually arrive at the soup kitchens before about between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the a.m., where I find homeless people, and we get them ready for bed and let them lay on cots and feed them and encourage them, help to clothe them, help with prescriptions and all those different things. I've started 17 soup kitchens in all three counties in the state of Delaware. I receive no pay. I charge no one for anything, and I intend to give freely. My husband has some copies here that he would like to give you and would answer some of your questions.
Ms. Dunning, maybe you could just describe for the what it is you're asking for, what your plan is, or what you're seeking approval for.
What I would like is to use the building to cook, but to also serve and feed my little supers or anyone else that comes in there that has a need. I have the building. I would like to utilize the building, but like I said, cooking and feeding and serving the people. I would like to feed them on Mondays and Thursdays and probably Fridays, but sometimes on special days and also on holidays.
Say that again. How many days a week would you be?
Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Sometimes on holidays and special occasions. My special occasions are sometimes we have people to come in and they have older grandmamas and grandpapas, and sometimes they want to have a special birthday party. I'd want to use the building for that. Sometimes we had those. There have been times when there were memorial services and we would use the church hall. I would want to have those, maybe this, let someone have the service there or use it afterwards for a fellowship hall to serve the community. These are things that we do now as part of the Just Soup Ministry.
How many people will you be serving?
Well, at least 70. Anywhere from 50 to 70 people.
50 to 70 at every time?
Yes, at least.
Where will they park?
Well, there's plenty of parking there. The Just Soup Ranch is on 6 acres of land, and we have an extra 3 acres there. They can pull in, also turn around, and pull back out. They will come in and out on Cool Spring Road. They will come in the ranch. There's a way if they can turn around, they will not have to back out on Cool Spring Road. They can make a U-turn on the ranch.
So do you have marked parking areas, or are you talking about parking on the grass, or?
What are stones there they can park on?
Okay.
Now, you said employees. How many employees are you going to have?
Well, we volunteers. Have all volunteers. No one gets paid. I don't get paid either. No one gets paid, but we have about six volunteers.
Six volunteers.
Mm-hmm. And nothing on the property will be sold. If you know anybody knows my wife, she gives everything away.
Yeah.
And
there's no fee for anything.
No fee. I try to get her signed the letter that she wouldn't give the house away, but she won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have parking. Just talking about the parking area. I saw the stones going up. Now, do you have a separate place to park for cars and everything else?
Out front of the kitchen, there's areas of stone laid out where people can park.
Oh, in front of the place?
Yes.
So that's not all finished yet, right?
Just about. Parking? Yes. Mm-hmm. They could park there now if they needed to.
How many think of people be in there parking?
I would say no more than 15 cars at a time. Most people come with a group of people. Somebody always brings them to the different soup kitchens we have now. And we also trying to get the DART bus to have a stop right out front where they can walk down the street and come up.
Well, who helps you now to prepare these meals or this food?
I do most of the cooking myself.
Your husband help you and anybody? I mean...
Well, we have the volunteers that help. Most of the food preparation I do myself. We have those that help to serve and help set up tables and do all the other different things. But as far as the food preparation, I do that myself.
Mr. Lank.
Sir.
On the home occupation permit, that is just members, family members that's living at the home or the property. Volunteers is considered?
Right. The only thing, when you have a home occupation, the only people that operate a home occupation or residents that live on the premise.
That live on there. So volunteers is not considered, or employees?
Live on the premise. Mr. and Mrs. Dunning and their son live on the property.
Right.
They are the ones that operate, that can operate the soup kitchen once it opens on that site.
Okay.
Not volunteers. Not employees. Whether they're paid or unpaid, they're not living on the premise, so they're not permitted. That's why they're here before you, is to ask
that
they can serve.
That's
which
more
would
of
require
a,
more people, probably.
That's a more of a conditional use situation, isn't it? When you when you're asking for employees or volunteers.
Yeah, because what happens is if you have a use established that requires people coming from off site to do different things, then it's a conditional use. This is a home occupation that permits them to prepare, bake or cook foods to be delivered
to
elsewhere. And they're asking by through the determination clause of the ordinance to be able to give opinion of the board as to whether or not they can have the volunteers or the or employees on that premise to prepare foods and serve those parties that come to the premise.
Nobody will be serving the food. Cooking the food. My wife does all the cooking. She doesn't let anybody touch her soup. So only thing the volunteers would do is just help serve it or wash the dishes.
Right. But with assistance other than you folks,
yes,
is what we're talking about and mm-hmm. determining. Okay.
Trying to determine that, though, other than you three.
Right.
Because you live on the premises.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole reason they're here is because they have a limitation that they can prepare foods in the soup kitchen for delivery or for pickup on that site, but not for serving on that site, and they'd like to be able to serve.
When
sure.
And what was applied for when, as far as permits and so forth, when this came about? I mean, they came into the office, I assume.
Well, I could give you a little history if you can bear with me for a few seconds.
Sure.
Let me give you an overview of the definition of home occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Any occupation, profession, enterprise, or activity conducted solely by one or more members of a family on the premise. which is incidental and secondary to the use of the premises for the dwelling, which they live on the property, and this is a secondary use, provide that no commodity is stored or sold except such as is made on the premise. There shall be no group instruction, assembly, or activity, and no outside storage or display materials on the premise. And number one, when within the above requirement, a home occupation includes but is not limited to the following, and rather than read them all, there's a little list. Number C, under one, is dressmaking or custom baking. Baking, cooking, whatever you want to call it, it's basically the same thing. And then it has a reference to what's not interpreted as home occupation, which is another little list. But that's the basis of the definition. And there, when this came about, early August, late July, unbeknownst to Mr. and Mrs. Dunning, the county was contacted, as long as every other agency there is in the state of Delaware, and the utility companies and some contractors, and that's probably it, pretty much. There's probably 20 or so people met on the site, and they were advised through myself and other county staff that a single-family residence was permitted, thereby providing for the residential use of the property. An attached suite or residential unit could be utilized as long as it was attached for a family member with the same utilities. So the septic and electric all relates to that. That a guest house could be permitted, but they didn't build a guest house. But it could not have separate cooking facilities. It's the same as the attached, the son's quarters. He doesn't have a kitchen other than a sink and a half a refrigerator.
Okay.
He doesn't have any cooking facilities. That the owner could apply for and receive permission of a home occupation for custom baking and cooking, as long as they comply with the definition, which I just read. It can only be conducted by one or more members of the family living on the premise, as I also read that, and that there be no employees. That they could acquire a sign permit for the home occupation. It's limited in size. You're only allowed 6 square foot, 2x3 or something of that size. And that there was a reference to signage on the roof that we told them that was not permitted. And that they could erect a swing set on the premise. That was a question that was raised by the representatives that we spoke to at that time. On August 19th, I wrote a letter to Shell Brothers through Mark Fitzgerald on the Dunning's behalf, and again, unbeknownst to them, I believe, at that time, the department had no objection to the intended home occupation to perform custom baking or cooking on the premise as an accessory to the proposed residence, the dwelling. That the kitchen for the custom baking or cooking could be in an accessory building or in a residence that's permitted based on the home occupation. That the use for the kitchen and custom baking and cooking could not be utilized until the house was occupied. But you have to create a residence on the premise to be able to provide the service. And then I provide a definition of the home occupation in that letter and reference specifically and underline that no employees are permitted. And then on September 1st, I believe that's the date I met with the applicants on site with other county representatives, and they were advised of what took place while they weren't present on their behalf, pretty much. So basically what I read is what they were advised. That the approval letter of August 19th only allows for the custom baking or cooking, not serving of food on premise. That employees are not permitted except for those that reside on the premise. The reference purpose of an employee would include anyone that does not reside on the premise, whether a resident or rather an employee or a volunteer, because you have to reside there. And does not forbid the applicants from baking or cooking foods that are to be served off premise. And that I performed an inspection and had a couple issues that had been resolved And that we advise the her representatives, two Shell Brothers representatives, that they could apply for a special use exception to allow for the serving of food at that facility. And that the hearing date was scheduled for this evening, basically. And that this is an application to establish and allow for the serving of foods on the premise and should not be considered as an approval to proceed with the use, basically. And I think they have, you may have, I think that's pretty much it, but I don't know that you're not, are you cooking there now?
No.
And you're not allowed to until the...
No, I can cook there. I just cook from out of the house.
I didn't know if you were, there was some arrangement through the television show that you couldn't do certain things until it hit television.
I'm not allowed to show, bring anyone
okay,
inside.
Okay, I knew it was something, but
yes,
I couldn't remember.
Yes, until after it's been televised.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
So they're here before you to get consideration for service.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Lawrence, got a question. Are people staying there all night?
They live on the premise, that's all.
How come they got a two-story college and...
they live in the, I'll call it their house, which is the red structure.
Mm-hmm.
Attached to that is a white, small white structure. Their son lives there.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a living room, loft, bathroom, and a little kitchen that doesn't have a stove.
Okay.
Doesn't have any cooking facilities.
Which he could...
And he participates in... He's a laborer for the... For his mom.
which that is an attached structure?
It's attached through the deck and decking to make it attached, and it hooked into the same utilities.
And then if it was detached, it could be up to 800 square feet with a cooking
facility. If it was detached, it would be considered a guest house and couldn't be occupied permanently.
Garage apartment.
But it is attached.
Right. Okay.
Through the decking. Steps. Okay.
And that's allowed. It's been an example of that would be the section of private place in Sea Colony. There's a large section of homes that are all connected by decking. It's a condominium section, but it is permitted.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hunt.
And looking at your notes, your time for these Monday, Thursday, Friday, et cetera, is roughly the lunchtime, 11 to 2 ballpark. Okay. Don't expect delivery trucks to be arriving and departing on a regular basis?
No. So you do all your own shopping? Then.
Yes, Sam's and BJ's will go by it in bulk and load up in a van and bring it ourselves.
And there are no entrances or exits off directly onto
Route 9?
No. None at all.
The Del Dot stipulated that they have access from Cool Spring Road. Because of the location with the railroad right there at the intersection.
There's no special lighting anticipated?
No.
And I guess that whatever signage they had, Mr. Lank, would have to be consistent with the county's existing signage ordinance, right?
The home occupation only allows 6 square foot.
Okay.
2 by 3 foot. Okay. Are there any further questions? Mr. McCabe?
No, sir.
Mr. Workman?
No.
Mr. Hudson?
No, sir.
Mr. Mills?
No. Question?
Yes, sir. Mr. Lank, I'm sorry.
Just question. For the record, you raised questions about the hours and the number of days.
Yes.
What would be the approximate number of special events that you might have served?
Well, I think like...
Holidays?
And like I said, sometimes we have done in the past... Someone would have an older grandmother, grandfather, 80th birthday, 90th birthday, and they would want to do something special, and we always accommodate that. We have a young lady that's at the soup kitchen now. She's in her 60s. She's going back to school. We will do something for her. We do things to bring joy and hope to our people.
That's roughly 10, 12 a year?
Excuse me?
How many do you think you may have?
Those special events?
Yeah,
maybe up to maybe 20, 25 people.
No, how many
events.
Times?
How many special
events? Oh, how many times a year for the special events?
Yeah,
oh, my.
Ballpark.
What? Well, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
One a month, two a
one
month?
One a month, two a month?
Maybe one a month.
One a month, so 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All righty.
Is your seating in the kitchen area? Or where's your seating at for?
In the dining area.
Dining area.
In the dining area.
Yes, where they sit there and eat their meals.
And that's in the big house?
That's in the soup kitchen.
In the soup kitchen.
The soup kitchen,
okay.
Yes.
So it was built with this intent to have people come there?
Yes, to cook there, to feed.
Well, she didn't really know when it
we
was
didn't
built.
Know. We didn't know what they was going to build for us.
Well, we were hoping.
And it's called a ranch. The soup kitchen is the where people eat that is on the ranch. And our son's house is the bunkhouse. And our house is the ranch house. So I guess that makes me Ben Cartwright.
I gotcha.
So everything is in the kitchen where you prepare the food and serve the food.
Yes.
In that area. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Any further questions, Mr. Miller?
No other questions.
And hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? If you keep your hands up, please. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13 in favor. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we did receive a letter in favor of from a neighbor, Ronald Vassilow.
Okay, that's 13 here this evening in favor and one letter. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Please keep your hands up. We got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven in opposition. Okay, you want to sit right down in front. Those that are in opposition, is there anyone here that would like to come up and speak? If there is, all those that would like to, please come forward at this time and be sworn in. Again, those who are in opposition that wish to speak, please come forward at this time.
Mr. Chairman, it's probably appropriate time to note that we did receive a packet from Mark Lashier in opposition, and I have read that package.
Is every member did receive a packet and had the opportunity to read it?
Yes, I've read mine.
Mr. Cave? Mr. Workman?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson? Mr. Mills, and I myself have received it.
Okay, and that's part of the record.
All that's part of the record, we have read that. Okay.
How about if you all give us your names and addresses, and I'll swear you in at one time.
Okay, Paul Esposito, Cool Spring Road, Milton.
Okay, just step aside and let... Same address.
John Dorfler.
Okay. Address?
18588 Cushman Road.
Okay. Sir.
John Souder, 18540 Cool Spring Road.
Okay. Now, if you'll all come back up and gather around, do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. You can all fight for the podium and see who goes first.
We'll take the...
I'm a resident of Cool Spring Road. Tonight, the last several hours, I've been listening to people saying things about it altering the essential character of the neighborhood. Will it enhance the value of the community? Will it have any effect on existing properties? Will it be invasive to adjacent properties? I think these all apply, and being a homeowner in the area, I think it's going to have quite an impact on my property, and I'm not real thrilled about it.
Okay.
Mr. Esposito, why is that, and how's that? Do you feel that it'll have an adverse effect?
The essential character of the neighborhood. It's going to alter the essential character of the neighborhood. It's a residential community. It's zoned agricultural residential, if I'm not mistaken. I know very little about, the particulars of it, but I thought it was, you either farm or you have a house. The idea of will it enhance the value of the community? I don't think it's going to have a positive effect on my property being close by. Will it affect, you know, again, on existing properties or neighbors, I don't know.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next.
Good evening, all.
Good evening, sir.
My name is John Dorfler. I lived on Cool Spring Road over 25 years. And when we established that place, it was all residential. And today, I understand it's still agriculture, residential neighborhood. And this is it. The way that we even came about this was a Saturday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I received a letter in my post box stating that it's under consideration that they were going to put a home on Cool Spring Road. It was just a consideration. This was Saturday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 8 o'clock Monday morning, the truck started to come in. And I looked, I said, like, what's this all about? I said, oh, we're going to build a house down the way, extreme makeover. I said, wow. Well, the way we understood it, that they were in a facility that became too small, and they needed more room. Now, in this new facility, I understand there is a commercialized kitchen. I understand the kitchen is larger than some of the restaurants they have around town. That's number one. So they gave them a larger kitchen to actually prepare the food, and they also gave them a van to deliver it. That was the understanding that they were supposed to be doing with this soup kitchen. We have, you know, I have nothing against, I don't even know who the Dennings are. I don't even think that I read in the paper and what the people in this neighborhood is, you know, quite upset about. Now, let's face reality. They want to start feeding people. What type of people are they feeding? Or the ones down and out? Or they're homeless? We are in a residential. Remember, we got children in this area. You read the paper today, you see what's all kind of weird things are happening about children. We've got widows in this area. We've got people that work and their wives are left home. I mean, it's too much of a gamble. Not only that, we have a lot of farmland. Mostly we grow corn, soybean. We got a lot of woods around our way. Next thing you know, we're going to be sleeping in the woods and so forth and so on. Hey, we don't need that in this area. I wish you people would come and see the area. We've worked all our lives to make this a residential, good area. And if we need any type of protection, state police, you know where they come from? Bridgeville. That's our closest police protection. And how I know that, we had a skirmish one time. One of the state troopers came here. He wouldn't go back into the woods with me. So, I mean, it's just too much up in the air. It's something that I don't believe should be in our neighborhood.
Okay.
Not at all. I thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome, sir.
Any questions?
No, sir. Next. Ma'am, are you next? The lady in the back, are you? You can come forward. Okay, you can come on up, sir.
Okay.
I'm just going to get her up here. Go ahead, sir.
John Souter. I live on Cool Spring Road, just down from this project.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I don't have any, I mean, nobody wants to see people go hungry. I mean, I don't have any problem with them preparing food there and taking it somewhere. I mean, I helped with this project. I did a 12-hour shift from 8 at night till 8 in the morning as a volunteer. And I mean, it's a beautiful facility. It's a shame that they built it in areas where they did, where they can't utilize it properly. And I mean, my concerns are about the people that it's gonna draw to the area. I mean, we've already got, my neighbors have people trespassing on their property, looking around for soup already. You know, coming on their land and looking for another way to get into this property, hoping mm-hmm. for a back road. Now, I haven't personally found anybody on my property, but, I mean, if they're talking bringing 70, 80 people in there in vehicles, this little entrance that they have from Del Dot is right on a very dangerous, or it could, it can be, it's a bad curve. It drops down on both sides where, and it's on a gradual curve and it's all wooded. And I mean, I've lived here 22 years. I've seen my share of accidents, just people flying around this curve. And it seems, I mean, the traffic's more than ever. Mm-hmm. And it just concerns me that the people that will be drawn there that are gonna be hanging around where I mean, I've heard how they hang around and sleep in the woods in this out there between Lewis and Rehoboth now. And again, we're not that close to police protection. I don't want to get repetitive.
Right.
But
I appreciate
that.
That's
on a lot of the same concerns as
the gentleman just did.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir.
But I thank you.
Sir, I got a question, sir. Are you against serving the food there? If they cooked the food and took it away,
I have no problem with that. No, none whatsoever. It's not practical to be out there. I mean, it's a facility to serve people should be where the need is, near the towns.
So, but you have no problem with that if they cooked it, took it away from there?
Oh, absolutely not.
People come in and eat. Okay.
I could see myself helping.
Okay.
If I may ask one question, I mean, all the people that are 14 or whatever, that held their hands up in favor of it, I mean, none of them live anywhere near there, to my knowledge. Just as an aside, there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, sir. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Kelly Lashier. My driveway is about 500 feet from the Dunnings. And I just feel that the concerns of those of us living in close proximity of the project, our concerns weren't heard or validated. We were all blindsided. We have disabled children in the area. I myself have two children, one which has autism. And the problem is you're bringing people into this area and you have no idea what their background is. Some of these individuals are going to be mentally unstable. They're going to have substance abuse problems. We have over 50 sexual offenders that we have no idea where they live. And it just takes one. And my little boy doesn't understand that. What am I supposed to do? He loves to catch butterflies. He loves to go around the backyard. And we have woods in the back of our house. And what am I supposed to do? Just put him in a little cage? This concerns me as a parent, and I just don't understand why more research wasn't done. If this was to be a home-based operation, that's wonderful. Again, I support Ms. Dunning, and I encourage her to make the soup and to feed the homeless and those that are in need. I just don't think that we've chosen the right location for this. And I'm not willing to spin the roulette wheel in regards to the safety of the children in this area. I think the Shell brothers would have been better off finding a location with buildings in place to be remodeled near police and other community services. I think the extra money could have been put into hiring a qualified staff to provide counseling. I think this would have enabled those who want help to the resources they need to get help. I think programs need to be developed so people can feel a sense of pride and fulfillment. Instead of putting a Band-Aid on the situation, why not address the problem of our homeless and those in need and actively help them? I don't deny that Sussex County is in need of a shelter and a community center, but this area is not equipped for that. By allowing the soup kitchen to bring in countless people of unknown background and history into this area, you are knowingly and willingly putting the safety of my children and all the other children in the area in jeopardy. If the county really was concerned with helping those who are less fortunate, more thought should have gone into this. Look at Dr. Bradley. People warned officials, and none of their worries and concerns were addressed. People didn't care to hear it, and I don't want my concerns being heard 5 or 10 years from now. Eventually, Delaware is going to have to put the safety and well-being of its children first. And that's all. Thank you.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Can I ask you the same question? You have any problem with that, if they took the food away?
No, but I think that there needs to, it needs to really be monitored. I don't want to, like, again, it just takes one person. You know, when my kids are waiting for the bus, again, it's about 500 feet from there. What if I have to run to the bathroom? And what if I think they've gotten on the bus? I believe me, I've had so many awful things go through my head, and I think they've gotten on the bus, and a whole day goes by, and that bus comes back in the afternoon, and they don't get off it. Then what? I'm sorry.
It's okay, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Light reading for you guys tonight. May I approach and distribute some stuff? Okay. And to you? Perfect.
There's a copy for every single member of the Board of Adjustment, okay. And one for the county attorney as well, too. Also here are CD-ROMs, one for everyone for the attorney as well. On the CD-ROMs, there, I didn't splurge enough to print enough pictures. It was getting costly. So I printed up three different copies. So if you could actually divvy into equal areas that they can share, they are equally divided, which gives you a nice pictorial history of Cool Spring Road and the surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Looks like it.
Fancy stuff.
You hold it.
Okay.
That's it.
And
I'll give you this one.
Okay.
These all the same?
They're all the same.
All the same.
Three sets.
Three sets. You can share those and me.
But you each have your own copy on CD-ROM. So if you wanted to, you can put in your computers and all those pictures that you have in front of you.
These will be them drawing. Friends
got no accessible. Also on the CDs, there's actually three videos that were produced for the Delaware Homeless Corporation, which is just recently done this year, which gives you a nice in-depth look of the Delaware homeless population. And it's actually done and narrated by homeless people. They talk about some of the different problems that they face, et cetera. So it's a nice look through to it. Good evening, gentlemen of the board. My name is Mark Lashier. I live exactly 510 feet from the entrance of the Just Soup Ranch. And I'm in opposition to the special use exception for the ranch for several reasons. First of all, I think it was completely irresponsible of the county to grant approval for this project in such a rapid manner, given its scale and intent. There were several flags that should have been thrown by the county, which would have put this project in front of several committees regarding its future impact on an AR parcel, given that Cool Spring is miles away from a town or city where more ancillary services are provided. But this was for TV. It was a show, and we may never know why this was built the way it was and put in Cool Spring Road, but the show is gone. The cameras are gone, the buildings are built, and now it's time to sensibly govern the land use permissions for this area. I would like to congratulate the Dunning family and their Just Soup Ministry for being made the Extreme Makeover winner. Just Soup provides a great service for many people in our community. Their mission is invaluable. And the way the community came together for 10 days in August was wonderful. I remember reading and hearing tonight how early Miss Dunning gets up in the morning to start her cooking, 2 a.m. I know firsthand about kitchens and baking schedules to meet demands. And I remember firsthand those nights making and baking product in our own home kitchen, the hours and hours of baking. And I remember when our family finally made the decision to want to build a commercial kitchen behind our home. And without knowing a thing about building a bakery, I personally went through all the home-based permission operations, the permits, the building plans, the DLDOT traffic impact studies, which I don't recall seeing one performed on all these documents here, and working with the health department and DENREC and the fire marshal and all the other agencies involved in a home-based kitchen. That was a long and exhaustive task. I know firsthand the feeling of being able to cut down your time substantially in order to prepare what you need for your clients. It's relief. A big kitchen is a blessing. And the Just Soup was given a big kitchen. And in this new commercial kitchen, I hope that they can quadruple their capacity and cut their time cooking in half so they can efficiently serve their clientele and take on many more locations with their business. Their services are in need demand. It's a tough economy. People are losing jobs. The cost of goods are going up. Some can't afford to feed themselves, and more are becoming homeless. But that's the nature of a soup kitchen, to help feed those in need and those that are homeless. It's a job that many of us will never experience the other side of, to help those in dire need, to arrive at a location and find those with nothing, some living in the woods in tents, sometimes maybe just a pillow. They have no hope. And in many locations, you never know what to expect. Who am I serving today? Is there anyone new here? What do I know about them? Am I safe here today? Serving soup kitchens and the homeless shelters are specifically located within cities and towns throughout the state. In these locations, organizations take advantage of several services that can both help and protect everyone. Social service programs can help those with substance abuse problems and mental health problems. Public water and sewer is available. Local fire departments and local emergency medical services are available, and local authorities are available to help ensure the safety of everyone involved. But what happens when you take out safety? What happens when you make available in a rural area this service, and there is no safety or local protection close by? Should a situation arise, response time from those you depend on to be there to help you can't get to you in a timely manner. And this is what holds for the future of Cool Spring. Without proper study, without future impact studies, and for the glamour of TV, a camera, publicity, rating points, the risk in Cool Spring has now increased 100%. When you go from nothing to something, the risk is increased. And this is mine and my neighbor's concerns for even granting one special use exception to serve at this facility. By granting one special use exception, you increase the risk 200%, because by simply building a designed-to-serve soup kitchen in an AR parcel in the country without the proper protection needed to serve the surrounding residents, you increase that surrounding residents' risk 100%. Opening the door just once increases it to 200. I mean, you don't think that people everywhere don't know that a new soup kitchen has been built in Cool Spring? And it doesn't matter if you're homeless or not. We know. Homeless people know. People in correctional facilities right now know. And for those with nowhere to go, well, they assumed that if they come to Cool Spring, there's a place there that they can take care of them. They can get a warm meal. Maybe they can get some rest, freshen up. And then what? Where do they go from there? A leisurely stroll up the road? On a rural road with maybe residents home? And maybe not. And these documents that each of you have, there are countless studies on soup kitchens, their clientele, the homeless, crime, sex offenders, and more. This document is also to serve as a guide that helps these, that shows that these problems are real. And these problems run risk of developing right here in Cool Spring off Route 9. First page, council denies soup kitchen request. Cites that this council member said that the Circle Drive is the wrong location for the soup kitchen because of nearby residential areas, traffic, and parking problems. Said the Stepping Stones request for was they requested first a special use permit on the site. About 30 to 80 people come to the soup kitchen daily for a new meal. There's a no loitering policy. Question whether the soup kitchen would be compatible with a nearby residential business development. Continued. Planning board shoots down soup kitchen's relocation. Neighbors, no fans of soup kitchen. Says she fights. She says seen fights and drug dealing and has spoken to other neighbors who have seen trampling in nearby yards. Some of the crowd the neighbors see are not always behaving well. Barra said the kitchen already suspends guests who make trouble and has banned several for repeated violations. The kitchen has a coordinator on duty during meals to assist volunteers and monitor behavior. The board now plans to hire a second coordinator to patrol the outside of the building. Do we know if any of these policies are going to be in place here? And one could say that it's not going to happen here. But is it? There's no guarantee. People find their way to food. And if they feel they know that they can be taken care of, they'll stick around. And who exactly will be sticking around? Based on other reports of homeless shelters and soup kitchens, a large percentage has substance abuse problems, mental health problems, and many have been just released from prison. Will the woods around Cool Spring become homeless encampments because of their close proximity to the soup kitchen? The pictures you all have, you've seen the pictures of the road. There's woods all through that area. We don't know. Take a look at the Cool Spring Road. They're filled with, sorry, I'm just reviewing some of these notes here. A problem with homeless encampments. Well, I need to refer to my documents here. The problems issued with homeless encampments, chronic public intoxication, panhandling, loitering, trespassing, shoplifting, drug dealing, mental illness, and disorder at day laborer sites. High level of crime around encampment areas. Importance of county officials to create a strategy that does not impact neighboring communities. Protection of property. Impact on the larger community. Numerous studies have pointed to a strong relationship between homelessness and criminality. Even if transients are not hardcore violent offenders, evidence from police case studies show areas adjacent to transient encampments have higher levels of petty and serious crime unrelated to routine behaviors, such as drug dealing and usage, disturbance, theft, prowling, burglary, panhandling, fighting, vandalism, armed robbery, rape, and aggravated assault. Stolen property, weapons. Wanted felons have been found in homeless encampments. Encampments are usually located close to goods and services that transients need: food, alcohol, employment, opportunities, and shelter. Many don't have their own vehicles, so they sleep in wooded areas close to public transportation, railroad tracks. Yes, there are railroad tracks near Cool Spring, and abandoned buildings. Residents that live close to homeless encampments. These people suffer disproportionately from crimes committed by transients. Their interests may not extend beyond pushing the problem out of their immediate area. Demand on police resources. Encouraging private property owners to secure vacant lots and buildings. Fencing and other barriers can make spaces less desirable for encampments because of the increased effort needed to reach the camp. Are we all going to receive compensation to put fences and barriers around all of our properties to protect them? I doubt it.
Is this the book you gave us, sir, you're reading?
Yes.
Okay.
Citing directly out of that. And everything is highlighted, too.
I just wondering if you gave it to us. Well.
Many people, homeless people, rely on shelters and soup kitchens for their food intake. While many rely on homeless shelters, especially in the winter months, a large number find refuge in cars, abandoned buildings. Other refugees for homeless people, outdoors, shanty towns, derelict structures, abandoned buildings. Plenty of those. Actually, you can see on the corner of Cool Spring Road and Route 9, there's a house that looks like a gingerbread house. The guy that owns out of New Jersey, but it's run down. He's not living right there. Does that become an encampment area? We don't know. We don't know that. Jail incarceration, homelessness, and mental health. A national study orchestrated by a doctor of psychology and a medical doctor documents the high rate of homelessness among jail inmates. Fears become a reality as new homeless shelter attracts crime to the neighborhood. Says this neighborhood used to be real quiet. We knew, we tried to tell them, we're not against the homeless, we're just against the location. We don't see police officers. Soup kitchen, taking heat. Residents said our neighborhood becomes flooded with wandering homeless men between 5 and 7 p.m. every day after they eat meals at the soup kitchen. The problem's the way they address homeowners who lived in our home in Northwest for 28 years. They ask for money, talk to women in a manner that's considered unseemly. They watch women while they're working in their yards. Said a homeless man had just left the soup kitchen and approached her while she was working her yard. He asked if he could help me with the lawn, and he kept coming and coming to me every 2 weeks. Eventually, her husband was there. He stopped coming, but he still worries. We think it's good that they give food to the people, but they're always drinking alcohol. It's not comfortable for you to walk anywhere with a child. So what about Delaware? A survey conducted in January of 2011 of Delaware's homeless, conducted by Connections CSP up in Wilmington. Brief statistics found that 59% are male, 31% reported substance abuse, 38% reported jail time in their past, and 34% had no income of any kind. Here's a familiar story. Remember just last week, a homeless man arrested for burglarizing Grotto's Pizza. The police were on the scene quick. They broke in, the alarm went off. Police were on the scene like that and arrested him inside. And who's to say if he's homeless and hungry and he's released and knows there's a serving kitchen out in Cool Spring, is he coming my way? We don't know. And what happens to the homeless if they do find their way to Cool Spring? Homeless man charged with Dover theft. Dover homeless man charged with church burglary. Ironic that they all seem to be robbing churches, which I don't understand, but record number of burglaries in Sussex, you decide. Dover Police Department investigating death of a man found in a roadway. Dover Police Department investigating the death of a 36-year-old homeless man who was found deceased laying in the roadway on South Bradford Street in Dover in front of Driftwood Spirits. The victim sustained massive head trauma. Exact nature and cause of death have yet to be determined. And this is Cool Spring Road with no street lights, no lighting. Am I going to find a person get hit by a car out in Cool Spring? Because he's mentally unstable or intoxicated, and he wanders out in the middle of the road in the middle of the night, and we don't know about it. Dover police charged homeless man for breaking into Spence's guitar. It was bizarre. Rural homelessness. Here's a good idea to look at. It tells you what rural homeless is. Far fewer shelters in rural areas. I said, and efforts to end rural homelessness are complicated by isolation, lack of awareness, and a lack of resources. The real problem that issues with rural homelessness gets into the nature of sex offenders. And we don't know where homeless sex offenders reside. A threat to rural life. Sex offenders push waves of newly released sex offenders into county lands, straining budgets, stretching law enforcement resources, and fraying the nerves among neighbors at the center of one of the largest legal experiments in the country. No one knows for certain who ultimately will pick up the tab for satellite monitoring or the necessary equipment. It says, if forecasts prove true, the rural country land that runs across Interstates 5 and 80 can inherit scores of sex offenders pushed out of more urbanized areas. Quote, it makes me nervous. I mean, it's such a quiet little country town. We come here to raise our families and to escape the crime in the city. This is why we choose to live here. We have families here. You know, a boutique clothing store that caters to 35 to 64-year-old women wasn't built on this property. A family doctor didn't decide to open up a practice on this property, a lawn garden center, hair salon, etc. Each of these businesses has a clientele, they're profiled, and we know who their customers are, just as a soup kitchen has a clientele. And the matter at hand isn't whether or not it would be nice to serve people occasionally at this location. It's the granting of this special use exception that opens the door to things that could happen in the future. And those are what need to be further examined and decided. What happens 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and so on? What impacts could this cause to the residents of this area without additional needed services? And of course, the matter at hand is the protection of children. I think many of you are parents here and have children of your own. And some of you may have grandchildren. And what's our job as parents? I mean, really, when we think about it. There are a lot of answers, but our job as parents is nothing more than the protection and well-being of our children. To raise them. To get them to an age where they can make conscious, informed decisions on their own. And they depend on us for that. To get them there. They look up to us. They depend on us to look out for them. If you think back to when you were raising your children, the smiles you got from them, Christmas, dressing up at Halloween, Thanksgiving dinners, Easter, sports, driving to and from practices, the games, playing in your backyard together, bedtime stories at night, the laughter, the joy, the tears. You were always by their side to comfort them, to reassure them. You give your children your unconditional love, a love that can never be broken. And you do anything for your children. You stand up for them. You protect them. It's a parent's unspoken creed, and it's shared by every parent in this room. We look out for our children, and in neighborhoods, we look out for each other's children. We give our all for our children, and we do everything and anything we can to ensure their safety. When you were raising your children, it wasn't any different. You did all you could. You took every measure possible to raise them without fear of the unknown and to ensure their safety. If you have grandchildren, many of you might have grandchildren, you're still doing it. They come here to visit. You get excited all over again. And you instinctively jump back into protective mode. Because children are wonderful. It's been said that a child laughs 200 times per day. Adults, only 12. The world is a wonderful place to a child. They look at the world through rose-colored glasses. To a child, the world is full of hope, full of possibilities, full of smiles, and full of good people who care about them. But unfortunately, we as adults know this is not often the case. There are dangers in our world, and children are often the victims of crimes that are unthinkable and unspeakable. And it enrages us as a parent to know that there are people in our world who can in an instant completely destroy everything that we've worked so hard at, so long at, to protect our children. In our own community, we've already made national and international news. I don't need to go into the trust that was given by hundreds and thousands of families here in our own local community by a pediatrician, and how in front of our eyes, even when others called our attention to it beforehand, that trust was blatantly disregarded, and hundreds of children were victims of unspeakable horrors. Our Attorney General instituted the Adam Walsh Act in Delaware and organized the Child Predation Unit to track and keep registered sex offenders on record within the state. We now have laws that are specifically aimed at keeping our children safe, and it's the mission of our state to ensure the children's safety. Today, more than ever, our legal system is quick to make laws, overturn rulings, and protect the safety of our children. From Title 11 of the Delaware Code, registered sex offenders are found guilty of a felony if they come within 500 feet of schools, daycares, or any educational facility. Here, local police and authorities can quickly respond when needed, but their services are limited to the jurisdiction in which they serve. Who's responsible to protect the children when authorities aren't around? We are. Parents. You. Me. Everyone here. It's our job to look out for our children, our neighbors' children, our friends' children, and the list goes on. How do we know who's looking around, or lurking around our corner? If someone knows there is a serving soup kitchen in Cool Spring, will they make their way there and camp out in the woods behind mine or my neighbor's property? Are my children safe to play in their own backyard, front yard, etc.? Who will be monitoring who is coming in and who is coming out of our area? And will the proper equipment be in place inside this kitchen to monitor those that are at risk? The list of articles here on sex offenders as well, too. Level 3 sex offender arrested for knife point robbery at City Soup Kitchen. Police arrested a registered 3 sex offender, knife point last week. Probation violation has convicted rapist facing time. Ordered to stay away from the area near the day shelter and soup kitchen and other areas. Michigan Supreme Court rules homeless sex offenders must report addresses to authorities. It's no excuse for them not to alert authorities where they live. No way prevents the offender from physically entering a law enforcement agency that reports his whereabouts. Say they sometimes have bunked in abandoned buildings in public places. Where do homeless sex offenders go? Wherever they can to avoid disclosing about their whereabouts to authorities. Because of the transient nature of homelessness, the whereabouts of sex offenders and sexual predators are unknown. Sex offenders are at increased risk for committing another sex offense if they're homeless. The instability of homelessness and associated turmoil can elevate mental health conditions or trigger new ones. In Boston, 74% of level 3 sex offenders had a homeless shelter listed as their address. Law enforcement officials have no way of tracking them, and residents are unaware of potential threats. Homeless sex offenders in Delaware? Absolutely. Right now, the Delaware State Police has listed 50 unregistered sex offenders, whereabouts unknown. Other sex offenders in Delaware are now claiming homeless, as they have nowhere to go. Will they be served in Cool Spring? Will we know? How can we be sure? Again, is the soup ministry equipped with the adequate computer technology to track, ID, and fingerprint those that come in for a meal? I spoke with the Attorney General's office last week and expressed my concerns regarding this. And the first question I was asked was, how far are you away from the local or the closest police barracks? 8 miles, I said. His reply, you have a great deal to be concerned with. That's at least 16 minutes dispatch time, if you're lucky. And speaking of police, this is increased demand on state police resources. Unlike living in a town where local authorities can help control problems, the closest police barracks to Cool Spring is the Delaware State Police at Five Points, Troop 7 in Lewis. What happens if the police are needed immediately? What happens if one day my children are out playing in the backyard, which behind the woods, and unbeknownst to them is a transient homeless sex offender living back there in a tent, and they disappear? All because of that offender learned that there's soup being served to the homeless and needy. Or what if one day my daughter has a friend over, and maybe it's a play day, maybe it's a sleepover. After all, kids do have friends, and they go to each other's houses to play. And you guys remember that. And they're playing out back, and her friend disappears at the hands of a homeless sex offender. Or what if there's a birthday party at my house, and there's 18 children at the house, and one disappears at the hands of a homeless sex offender? And maybe it's a family get-together, and cousins are in town visiting, and one of them disappears. Or maybe it's Thanksgiving, or Christmas, or Easter, or Memorial Day. It can be any day, any time. And what if one morning, as they're waiting for the driveway at the bus stop, the school bus stops right in front of our house, and as my wife said, I quickly run to the restroom and take my eyes off of them for a minute. And I don't hear the bus coming up the street, but when I return, they're gone because a homeless sex offender lives in the woods behind my neighbor's property, which leads right to the back of the soup kitchen. And what if every day they get picked up for school along with all the other children on the bus, and they pass by the woods, which is near the entrance to the soup kitchen, and they all see each day mentally ill homeless sleeping there, substance abusers strung out, waiting for the noon serving? What if they see them urinating or using the bathroom in the woods because they have no bathroom available and the kitchen isn't open yet? And what if the kids had to pass by this section each day on their way to school and they saw the same repeated behaviors? Would they come home and tell you about it, what they saw? How would you feel? You live on this road now, and your children ride this bus along with my children. And now you have people camping in the woods behind your house. Are you safe? Do you feel safe? Do the parents of your children's friends feel safe in sending their children over to your house? Now multiply those feelings by every home that has children living or visiting in Cool Spring. There are too many safety concerns. Will state police frequently patrol this area to ensure the safety of those children? Daily patrol would be necessary. Are we going to, we're going to need extra police protection in that area. And if they can't offer that extra protection, who's going to do it? You five? Can I count on you guys? I'll call you up each time that a number of kids come over and they've got play dates and friends and birthday parties and holidays. It's a lot of events. And I'm counting on you guys for that. Hold on, I lost my place. Sorry, it's a long document.
It is, yeah. not to interrupt you. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I'm going to finish it out. I took a long time of writing this thing. And if you don't come, I can alert the press and media that you don't show up to help protect the kids when we've documented here tonight that there are safety concerns. Children's safety should matter more than anything else here tonight. Are you going to tell these children to their face that their safety is not as important as to making sure someone can get served a warm bowl of soup in Cool Spring? Granting this exception says just that. A decision allowing to serve, even one time, says to the children on this road, good luck. I'm not concerned about your future here. That you could possibly be kidnapped, or raped, or beaten, stabbed, or murdered. The world is full of great people, and everyone that is going to come here is going to be safe. Are they? Can you guarantee it? You can't. There are no guarantees. And now they're your kids again. And what are you going to say to comfort and reassure your kids that it's going to be okay when deep down inside you don't know because the risk has increased 200%? And where does the liability lie? Should something ever happen to a child as a result of your decision to allow serving to a clientele that puts them at risk, it rests right here. Because you would be the ones that said okay. You would deem that irregardless of the risks and dangers, and regardless of how big of a decision this special use exception really is, given what could be allowed in the future if you open the door. As a county, we have to be more proactive in securing the safety of our children. And everyone that I've talked with about this, from legislators, senators, the Attorney General's office, the Lieutenant Governor's office, council members, private attorneys, all agree they would be up here making the same points I am tonight. the list of homeless sex offenders. If you can actually look into the back, you'll find that many of them, these are all current from 2011, sex offender registers as homeless in Frederica. Seaford sex offender registers as homeless. High-risk sex offender registers as homeless in Harrington, Newark, Millsboro, Middletown. They're all over the place, and we don't know where they are. Cars are already increasing on our road. My kids have almost been hit by a car in their own driveway when the car was trying to turn around because they wanted to go and see where the soup kitchen was. People trying to stop and talk to them. Again, I have a special needs child. He's an autistic child. And he knows better than to talk to strangers, but he can be tricked. He doesn't understand certain mannerisms, remarks. His brain's not wired that way. But take a logical view on this decision. This decision cannot be an emotional decision. The pressure from a PR perspective is great here, but it doesn't need to be. You as the Board of Adjustment will make the right decision based on the facts and the statistics regarding the homeless and needy and having them displaced on a rural road with single-family homes and farmland. The risks, the lack of public safety, the lack of safety for many children, some handicapped further down the road, some autistic, the lack of public safety for women, the lack of public safety for the elderly, the liability, the lack of additional services required to more effectively serve the needy and homeless, the lack of all public services that should be present when effectively working and managing an at-risk clientele, transportation, safe streets, sidewalks, street lighting, nearby fire protection, emergency medical services, police, public water, and sewer. So to answer the question from the application, does the granting of this exception significantly adversely affect the use of neighboring and adjacent properties? Absolutely. For all the above. For my wife and I, we care most about our children and the other children on our road and around our area. If this situation was reversed, it's on your street, 100, 200, 500 feet away from your house, and you studied the plans, and you felt the county committed an error, and you called it out, and your children are young, and you're raising them, and you're doing your best to protect them, and in 10 days' time, it's built, and now it's trying to gain an exception to start serving food, every one of you would be where I am tonight, standing here in opposition. Not in opposition of making and taking, as it should be, a continuation of what it currently is, a home occupation, simply making and serving, and any future wanting to house and refresh or relax any individual or group who's seeking. The magic of children is wonderful, and serving here will open doors that will lead to many serious future consequences. Now, people here tonight say, who are you? Are you just against it? And no, that's not in the least, and I would take great offense to that. I've seen the hungry and hopeless in Delaware and across the peninsula. I work very closely with an organization that deems October the War on Hunger, Hurt, and Hate Month. And as a matter of fact, we'll be out the next three weekends in October at food stores all across the peninsula gathering box goods and canned goods to help feed thousands on Thanksgiving. In fact, in the past 17 years of this program, this organization has fed over 300,000 people here that were in need. And when those boxes get packed that Monday before Thanksgiving, it's a community effort. And people aren't brought in to get fed. Those boxes are delivered to shelters, kitchens, organizations where it's needed. Again, simply allowing to serve in Cool Spring does not address the bigger problem at hand with the hungry and homeless. It displaces a service to an odd location that puts others at risk. Understand the problem. There are many organizations that need to be involved in planning an effective strategy for helping those in need. Social service agencies, religious and charitable organizations, people living in homeless encampments, residents living close to them, businesses, the community as a whole, media, politicians, city officials, county officials, police leadership. Just on a state and local level, $75,000 was paid with our taxpayer money to have 100% waived fees from the county. Manned
Mr. Lashier, you're really getting far afield and very repetitive.
We're going to wrap this up.
Yes, Mr. Brooks, because it's been 45. I mean, we got the message, honestly.
Sure.
We understand
right.
The children and homeless
great.
And all that. But let's.
No, here
no,
we
wait
go.
Me,
in closing, by saying no
sir,
to this.
Did you hear what I. Let me finish first.
Oh, I think you said wrap it up.
No, I didn't say wrap it up. I said we understand what you're saying and we're getting the message.
Sure.
Okay, you said you're going to wrap it up, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So can I wrap it up?
Yes, sir.
All right. In closing, by saying no to this special use exception tonight, you, as the Board of Adjustment, say there's more to this exception than just serving soup. There are bigger issues to focus on here. There are future impacts that need to be studied. The safety of children is extremely important and a major focus and a concern of ours. The safety of residents is important. The distance of this facility away from protective services is a major concern. Put a TV show aside and look at the bigger picture. We need to establish a policy that truly helps those in need, and these decisions involve many more people and organizations, and those organizations are not located in rural areas. By saying no tonight, there is no loss. There is no financial loss to the Just Soup Ministry by not allowing them to serve here. This entire project is paid for. It's rent-free. The soup ministry did not have to front any out-of-pocket expense to build this kitchen, and they assume no financial losses by you saying no to serving here. Those meals are given out for free. But by saying no, you aren't changing anything from what they're currently permitted to do, which is to continue and operate as a home occupation. Continue to make soup, make more soup, make much more of it, and take it out. And I also, there is also some exceptions that I've placed. I don't think there was enough conditions placed on the property. Establish a set of fixed operating hours, clear definition of employees, address the concern that the areas of the facility are not to be used as a homeless shelter, mandatory that no overnight stays. Land is deeded as AR1 and built out of the parcel indicates that the organization at some time could file for a chain of zoning to conditional use of commercial property. Propose a restriction on this, no loitering around the property, no signage. The conditions of this property are only valid to the Dunning family. Should the organization cease to continue to operate, no matter the reason, closing, etc., the property cannot be sold and have the terms of the property transferred with it, meaning should she wants to do it somewhere else, the new owner would have to come before planning and zoning to operate in the same home-based occupation. County would enforce the restrictions. At the same time, I also know for Ms. Dunning to grow her organization, she needs volunteers. And it should be permitted, if she's going to serve more soup to more people in the area, that she should be allowed to have some volunteers come in and help her make soup. And that's my argument.
Okay.
These are... continuing to operate as a home-based occupation, it's just we would not like to have serving on the road.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, there being no other opposition, Chair will entertain a motion. In lieu of all the information that we've got, well, the book's been read, but we've looked at it again.
Huh? The question in the audience.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe some people in support would like to speak.
I'm sorry?
Maybe some parties in support that would like to speak.
Yes, ma'am. I asked for those earlier, though. I didn't?
You went right to opposition.
I'm sorry?
You went right to opposition.
Okay. Thank you.
Name and address.
Brenda Hudson, 28564 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Milton.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I didn't come prepared with a speech or anything tonight, but I actually live, my property borders the Dunnings property, and I support them with everything in me. I've sat here and listened to everyone's concerns. My property actually borders the Dunnings, and I own the field, the cornfield across from them on Cool Spring, which has the woods on it as well. And we do monitor our wooded areas. My farmer also monitors them. I made a few notes as he was speaking, so I wouldn't get up here and just not know what to say, so bear with me. One thing that perturbs me is they have all said when they came up here and spoke that they support the Dunnings and are doing and commend them on their efforts, but not in my backyard. Well, if not in your backyard, whose? Our county is growing. Our population is growing. I'm a realtor. I know. I know the numbers. I don't mind supporting her or her calls. I don't think it's just her calls. I think it's all our calls. I live right next door to this. I see what goes on every day. I have, and as far as people backing around in driveways and things like that, those are gawkers. People just want to see, you know, where's the home, extreme home makeover property. That's all they're doing right now. And I know that could be dangerous at some point if a child was out there, but that's going to stop as things get old, you know. Mm-hmm. That goes away. What else did I write down? As far as threats and things that can happen, things happen everywhere, anywhere. You get in your car and leave your property, you know, wherever you end up, things can happen. Things happen. I just don't understand people opposing to help the community. And I'm here begging you.
Okay, ma'am.
Yes?
With all due respect, that's not the issue. The issue is how will it substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring adjacent?
Will it what? I'm sorry?
Will it substantially affect the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties?
My property practically surrounds their property.
And you have no concerns about
it? I have no concern over it. I actually own that property that their ranch is on.
I see.
And I made a transfer with Chris Shell on that property.
I see.
I own the property directly across from their driveway, 30 acres there. And I own the property next to them, another 2 acres and another quarter acre parcel. So I surround them. I see what goes on every day. I stay at home most of the time, and I have an office in my home, so I'm there and I see what goes on.
And you've stated that you've seen changes already since it's been built.
All I have seen so far are gawkers pulling up front. They'll read, you know, their sign that they have out. Thank you for helping us, the volunteers. I'm sure many of you have ridden by on Route 9 and seen that.
You don't think that has an adverse effect on
neighboring
properties?
No, that sign's not staying there.
No, I'm not talking about the sign. I'm talking about the gawkers. You don't think that has an adverse effect?
Oh, no. That's, you know, that's going to stop. It's just like it will become old sooner or later. And everything will return the same as it was, I believe. It's just my point of view. I'm here to support them. And I don't have a problem with it. Thank you.
Ma'am?
Yes.
You said you've not noticed anything yet, but it's not open yet either, is it?
No.
So you can't really, there's nothing to notice yet, except gawkers.
But with what they have said is going to happen there, and I believe them truly, I don't see a problem with it. Okay. I mean, this is my backyard. I'll look at this every day. It's my side yard. So I'm all for helping people when they need it, when they're down and out. That's when you need help. If I was down and out, I'd probably go to her. And any of these people here that are opposing it would be happy to go to her, too, and say, can you help me? So, anybody else have a question for me?
No, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of it? Please come forward at this time. Again, if there's anyone out there that would like to speak in favor, please come forward at this time.
Names and addresses, gentlemen.
My name is Brooke Freeman, 18041 Robinson Fell Road, Lewis.
Sir.
Mark Moore, 22315 Hollyoak Lane, Lewis.
Do both of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Freeman, you were up first.
I'm here to speak on behalf of lifestyle that Mrs. Dunning has created, and that is she's reached out, she's given her all, and things have turned that she's had an opportunity, and where it's almost unheard of to be in this position. What she's asking is continue to let her ministry grow, and this is what this is, a ministry. Mm-hmm. And if I understand correctly, in the AR restrictions or zoning, churches are allowed, and this is what her is. She's a ministry. And that could easily fall under that. Her need, the need that she's meeting, has been created by partially this board and county council. And that is, they've allowed growth in this area, and it does bring with it the homeless and the needy. The economy has created people who can't even feed themselves that used not to be the support, the backbone of this country. And she's reaching out to them, and she's asking to be able to use this facility. I myself had a rare opportunity to work there and to help during this construction. And then I was asked to stay on, and for the 3 days after they left, I did provide some security for it. And I was responsible for that sign that was out front. She just wanted to thank everybody. And she's a woman with a grateful heart. And another word that I can say on her to describe her is she is what I would call our modern day Mother Teresa. She reaches out to the ones that no one even wants to see or talk to. And she's meeting that need. And I ask that you will consider allowing her to continue to do this. And I did have a little audio of a song that was written about her. And I can leave a copy or I can play it. It's up to you. Or I can wait and present it at county council.
Just leave it.
Yeah, I will leave a copy.
Okay.
And I'd like for it to go into the record. I do have means to play it if you want. It's 3 minutes long. But if you have a copy, you can listen at it.
Okay. Just leave it, sir.
My name is Mark Moore.
Hold on just a second.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You want to take that around, Mr. Freeman? You should understand, though, Mr. Freeman, this doesn't go before county council. This is the end.
Oh.
It's not like planning and zoning to county council. The board.
Then do I have permission to play this 3-minute audio?
I would say go ahead and do it. If it's only 3 minutes, yeah. Go ahead.
Sure.
No, I have another copy.
It's not like this is a dress rehearsal. So.
It was written by a friend of mine. He saw me and brought two copies to me.
Seeking him for guidance, what I could do about the suffering.
the song Ted It All. And I'm asking you to give support to meet the needs of these people. I also ask that you take in the concerns that these other people have raised. And if this does cause these type of people, then county council and needs to start looking at services to provide for these people. But they're out there and they're in need. Thank you.
My name is Mark Moore. I work for Shell Brothers. I didn't intend to get up here today, just being that, I guess you could say it's a bit of a conflict. I just wanted to be here in support of the Dunnings. But I just wanted to, in my opinion, to try to think of this as it's not all or nothing. I know as Dale has expressed, you know, she has 17 different soup kitchens that she takes food to throughout the state, and you know, she only, as she expressed, intended to use this maybe, you know, a dozen times a year or something like that to actually have gatherings there. So I don't know how that could be regulated or anything like that, but I'm just, you know, let's try to think of this as, you know, maybe there's some different creative ways that, you know, wouldn't necessarily have to be, you know, the doors are open every single day there, you know, at the ranch or anything like that. So that's just something I wanted to throw out there to everyone. All right.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I've written it down. Yes, sir.
Yes. Dale's my wife. We've been married 40 years. And she doesn't get any pay for anything she does. She puts in over 80 hours a week. I work three jobs just to help pay for a lot of this. And we don't ask the county for any grants or anything. We don't take nothing from United Way. We don't get any government subsidies or anything. We do this on our own. It's a ministry, just like the song says. It's just soup ministry. It starts with soup, but it goes way beyond that. My wife at one soup kitchen noticed a lady came into the soup kitchen one winter with no socks on, nothing but sandals. And she said she wanted to give that lady a pair of socks. But it was in the back of her mind like the Lord saying, go up to that lady and put the socks on her feet. So she walked up to the lady while she was eating soup. She took her sandals off. She put the socks on the lady's feet. And the lady starts to cry and says, I've never been loved like that before. She had an 80-year-old man come into the soup kitchen one day. She has everybody sign their name when they walk into the soup kitchen. And the man says, why you want me to sign my name? Are you going to keep track of me? And she said, no. Everybody that signs a name on that piece of paper, when I go home at night, I pray for every name on that sheet of paper. And the man told her, said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I'm embarrassed. I'm nearly 80 years old, and I never learned to read and write. And before that man left that soup kitchen that day, my wife taught him to write his name. He wrote his name for the first time out of 80 years. That made his day, that made her day. She came home all excited, just like she'd been given $1 million. She taught somebody how to write their name. It's a ministry that helps not homeless only, but people that are going through. A man can't write, a woman can't afford to buy socks. And also, she's had girls come in the soup kitchen, and she talked to them, found out what their needs were. They were girls thinking about having abortions. And she talked to them for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And every girl that's talked to her about having an abortion never had the abortion. They had their babies. They didn't even put it up for adoption. Some of them got married after that and now have a family and are happy that they didn't have abortions. Like I said, this is a ministry. If you go to any church, we got churches next door to us here, there, or any neighborhood. If you go to any church and look at anybody's background that's in that church, you got some that were drug addicts. You got some that were alcoholics. You were some that's been through divorce and been forgiven and married again. You got even some preachers that could tell you they were drug dealers. But why are they the way they are now? It's because some ministry helped them. And if we don't help our fellow man, where are we going to all end up? And if you can find a lady like my wife anywhere that's willing to give what she gives, she's got my blessing too. And thank you for your time.
You're welcome, sir. Yes, sir.
Name and address.
Pastor Bayman Brangman.
Spell the last name.
B-R-A-N-G-M-A-N. And I have the church just down the street from Dale Dunnings.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir. I just want to say that I've heard all of the discussions that are going on. I was going to keep quiet, but then I realized that that's not a smart thing to do. The reason why it's not smart is because we have two things that are before you right now. Someone that has a ministry that can serve this community and help it in a major way. A service that is a need in this community. And then you have residents that have real concerns about safety and what might happen, what kind of elements might come into the community. I'm a pastor of the church just a few doors down from where they built this facility for Dale Dunning. And we are very much supportive of her and what she does. And the reason why we're supportive is because we have had numerous times where people have come right off the street, walked into our church, and didn't have a place to sleep, didn't have a place to lay their heads in the middle of the winter. People have come in who are hungry, and we've tried to do our best to help in whatever way we can. We've actually worked with the Lewis Rehoboth Association of Churches, where we try to find ways to help people that are in serious need. And one of the things that we are looking at, which may help even in this scenario, is an opportunity where we can, even if necessary, if there's a concern about homeless people being in the area, there is an opportunity we can look into partnering with Dale to be able to provide busing of these people to that area and from that area to the resource community resource center that AWAC now has down in Rehoboth. And so we have opportunities, if you sanction this, where we can try to work together so that everybody is satisfied. And I just think those things should be considered, and I would be more than glad to work with Dale and anyone else that wishes to try to facilitate the movement in such a safe manner that it would not affect the residents in the area.
Okay, thank you. Should be open. Okay, that's all. Okay, gentlemen. That's all the opposition and rebuttal. So we'll chair be open for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion. We take the case or table the case until we have an opportunity to review all this material.
Our first meeting in
November. Two more meetings. First in November.
Yeah. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we table case number 10,878 until our first meeting in November to give us the time to review all this information and the tape that was presented to us tonight. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, the meeting ends.
Okay.